want to welcome you all again into the service this evening. And our song leader's delayed this evening, so you just bear with us and we'll do our best here. Hopefully it turns up soon. But we'll sing that one that our brother Terry's been playing there. First of All the Earth Beside. And chiefest of all unto thy bride, fullness divine in thee I see, wonderful man of Calvary.
Fairest of all the earth beside, chiefest of all.
Revive thy work, O Lord. It's 246 in the Redemption Songbook. Thy mighty arm make bare, speak with the voice that wakes the dead, and make thy people hear.
Revive thy work, O Lord. Thy mighty arm make bare, speak with the send
we'll just open with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another hymn before the pastor comes. Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again this evening that we're able to meet in this place in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you from the offset of this service that you come and be one of our number. Bless us, bless this service, bless your people. And Lord, you know the needs of your people here tonight, and we pray that you'll hear and answer them, Lord. Pray for our pastor as he bring that word, that precious word of the Lord, that would, men and women would know of their need of salvation here this evening. And Lord, I pray that many souls will be won for you. For it's in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. 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 I'll sing one more. That's one we're going to go for. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. 314 in the book. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me not.
Pass me not, O
gentle Saviour. Well, start again. A little forward. I got off the wrong altogether. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And you know, don't wait on me. Listen to Terry and come in. For if you wait on me, you could wait all night.
Pass me not, O gentle Thank you.
the Lord. Do you not want Brother Terry, when his wounded hand touched mine? Amen. Let's stand our feet for a moment or two. And we're going to try and sing that wee song, When His Wounded Hand Touched Mine. And the Lord bless you all this evening. We give you all a very warm welcome in their service, those that's in the room and those that's watching by way of the internet. Amen. We welcome you tonight in the name of the Lord. When His touched mine, when His wounded hand touched mine, Jesus set me free for all eternity. When His wounded hand touched mine, when His wounded hand touched mine. Father, we bow before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Lord, nothing in my hand I bring, Amen. Simply to thy cross I cling. We thank you that the veil is rent in twain from the top to the bottom.
Amen.
And there is a way made into the holiest of holies, a new and living way, by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we plead that blood over our lives, over the service, over all that's near and dear to us tonight. We plead the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Father, we pray for the Holy Ghost to move in our service. We pray for the Holy Ghost to move in these airwaves, Lord. We come against every work of the devil, every foul spirit, every demon power, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we pray for the liberty of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you that you do, in Jesus Christ's name.
Hallelujah.
Lord, save the lost, restore the backslidden, heal the sick, we pray, and get thyself all the praise and all the glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And the Lord bless each one. It is a bit echoey in here. I try to not be too loud, but I can't help it, really, I suppose. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. You may be seated. I want to take for the title tonight, and I won't be fit to preach all of this evening, a savior for no one but sinners. I'm glad we heard a little bit about Paul this morning, that Paul didn't just want to stone the Christians, but he wanted to kill them. And you know, the Bible says Paul the Apostle persecuted the church of God before he was saved. And he even held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. And you know that God met him on the road to Damascus, and a bright light came upon him, and the power of the Lord visited him. And he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he was persecuting God's people. He was persecuting God. But he had a conversion.
Amen.
He had a transformation. He had a born again experience in the road to Damascus. And here he writes this wonderful verse. This is a faithful saying.
Amen.
And worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am the chief. It may seem almost too good to be true, this gospel. To many people tonight, it seems too good to be true. That God can save the down out, the down and out.
Amen.
The prostitute, the drunkard, the homosexual. God can save anybody.
Amen.
Paul says, I was the chief of sinners, but he saved me. Paul knew what he was preaching about because he experienced it. You know, we Sydney Murray, when he preached, and Sydney Murray used to have a few wee sayings, and he always said them in every single service. Some people perhaps didn't like it, but nevertheless, it was his experience of what he knew. And he said, from handcuffs to white cuffs, from Johnny Walker whiskey to the gospel talker, praise God, he delivered me. Sidney Murray knew what it was to be delivered. And I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be delivered. And this good news, this gospel, is so wonderful, some people can't really take it in. It's so simple. The good news is Christ came into the world to save sinners. Troubled souls have been deceived many, many times. Many disappointments have so often happened to so many people. Many people have had their heart broken. Many people have, many things have happened to them in this life. But Paul the Apostle, moved by the Spirit of Almighty God, says this is a faithful saying. A man could give you a saying and it wouldn't last for a moment. He'd feel you tomorrow. I could feel you. You could feel me. But Jesus Christ can never fail.
Amen.
He's not a disappointment. But this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation. You can truly or safely believe it. That's what Paul's saying. Paul says, never fear, accept it. I tried it myself. That's what Paul's saying. It is God's unfaithful offer of salvation. Paul tried it. Paul tested it. And he knew it was real. It was a faithful saying. Men have hewed themselves out cisterns that can hold no water. The scripture tells us in Jeremiah 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they've hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns, that could never hold water. Man's religion's no religion. Man's goodness is filthy before God. The best we can do won't please God. We cannot please God by works program. We cannot even please God by a religious program. But the Bible tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. Shall he find faith when he comes? That's what the Lord's looking for tonight. Men themselves who promise great things for others are clouds without water. No man can give you the water of life. Only Jesus Christ can give you the real water of life. Even a man that preaches the gospel, I don't care how good he is, that man cannot save you. If he can, get him. And we'll save the whole of the town. You can't do it. It's only Christ that saves, and Christ alone. It's the preacher's job to present it, but it takes the Holy Spirit to do the work.
Amen.
Of what that preacher preaches. And if the Lord doesn't work, they that labor, labor in vain. Those that don't believe in God can never comfort the broken heart. When did unbelief ever satisfy the longing of a human soul? It cannot. Unbelief doesn't bring you to God, it takes you away from God. And this world is full of so much unbelief, full of so much fear. Our television programs, everything today is geared to put fear upon people. But God says, I haven't given you the spirit of fear, but of love, of truth. faithful saying. Their sayings are not faithful. What the scientists report today could change next month. What the news reports today could change next month. But the Word of God remains the same. It never changes. This silly talk of man becoming essentially good and God-like and needing no generation, needing no new birth, needing no Holy Spirit, needing no atonement of the blood, needing no justification, needing no baptism of the Holy Spirit. What did it ever do for mankind? That's what they'll tell you. That's what they'll say to you. There's nothing to it. But what do they offer? What do they give? The Bible says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death.
Right.
Yet man's ways have failed time and time and again. Politicians have made so many promises of peace and all these wonderful things, but yet they don't happen. And once they get into office and into power, they sometimes, mostly, don't do what they claim they're going to do. Before they get in, they'll fail you.
Right.
But God will never fail you. He's not a disappointment.
Amen.
They find themselves unable to deliver to the deluded people what they promised. No wonder the public thinks promises are faithless and not to be accepted. Many people hearing my voice tonight bears in his heart or her heart scars left by friends who failed them. All of us have friends that failed us. Every one of us in this room, somewhere along the road, we've been hurt, we've been injured. Somebody maybe failed us, somebody disappoints us. But it is the Lord Jesus Christ that your focus should be upon. It is a Savior that your focus should be upon. Upon no man, no matter how good he is, he'll fail you every single time. But Christ is not a disappointment. Our eyes are to be fixed upon the Savior, on Christ alone.
Amen.
Hopes never fulfilled, scars made by the mirages of false hope inspired by fallible man. Remember, every man's fallible. People claim certain prophets were infallible, but that's false teaching. The very prophets in the Bible failed. Moses failed, for he struck the rock when he should have spoke to the rock. Every one of them is false, every one of them is failures. But I can show you a man this evening and never fail. I can show you a man this evening that done no wrong, that knew no wrong. He's a spotless, the blameless, the Son of the living God. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He never fails.
Amen.
He's my absolute.
Glory.
He's the one I'm looking to. I'm only here this evening because of him. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even have come here tonight. It's because of him that I'm here this evening. I haven't come here to see who I can please. I've come here to serve the Lord. I've come here with a vision to see people saved by the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. If he can change me, he can change you. If he can change you, he can change others, because he is a Savior. And worthy of all expectation. It has been proven to the millions of trusting hearts who ever find one single promise in God's word to fail. There's none that can fail in the word of God. Firstly, I want you to see this evening, Christ Jesus came into the world to save. That's the reason he came. He came to save. That's the purpose he came. He came to save. Some people say the preaching of the cross shouldn't be first. Some people say salvation shouldn't be first. But I say to that tonight, away with it. The cross is what we're to preach, and salvation is our vision. And if we have no vision for that, we have no vision at all.
Right.
Many claim I'm part of the bride of Jesus Christ, and they run about with their chest out, I'm the bride, and yet they have no desire to see people saved.
Right.
They couldn't be the bride. Because the bride is Mrs. Jesus Christ. And if she's Mrs. Jesus Christ, Jesus came to save. And if Jesus came to save, those that's born of a spirit should have the desire within them from his spirit to see people saved, to see people changed by the power of God. significant that the scripture says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It is a pre-existent Christ I'm talking about. Jesus Christ didn't begin in the virgin's womb, but before ever he came into the virgin's womb, he pre-existed. He was in the bosom of the Father from the foundation of the world. John 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God."
Amen.
"And the same became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory." Whose glory are you wanting to see? If you're wanting to see man's glory, you'll get disappointed, I can assure you. I don't care how good he is, he'll fail you.
Amen.
The best of preachers and the best of men, if you only knew them, every one of them had faults and mistakes, but Jesus Christ is faultless.
Amen.
John 8:58 says, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." They said, "You're not even 50 years of age, and you're telling us before Abraham was, I am." This is the same I am. When he spoke in the garden, they fell backwards, right to the ground. This is the one you need to have an encounter with. You need to have an experience with this man called Jesus. Christ was the living Word made flesh. Jesus Christ came into the world for one reason, and for one purpose, to save sinners. Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If it was left to you or me, what would never have happened?" You know, some of us have heard preachers in the past, and it's true, maybe what some of the brothers have said, they should have been stopped. I'm here tonight to say I agree. Perhaps they should have been stopped. But I heard a man preach that he could redeem himself. He was such a part of the bride of Christ, he didn't even need saved. He could redeem himself. But I want to tell you this evening that you couldn't even redeem your smallest toe. They couldn't redeem one hair of your head. You could redeem absolutely nothing. Every one of us was lost in sin and iniquity. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We needed a Savior. We needed a Redeemer. And Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior and Redeemer.
Amen.
A man that thinks he can redeem himself, hey, that man's lost. He's lost. Do you know why he's lost? He's never recognized his lost condition. And if you never recognize your lost condition, you can never be saved. When a man's drowning in water, he'll reach for a straw to save him because he knows he's drowning. But somebody that thinks they can do it, well, they don't need a Savior. But my text tonight, he is a Savior for no one but sinners.
Glory.
I worked with a woman and she wasn't a sinner. She told me, "I'm not a sinner." She said, "It's wonderful you got saved. You needed it." But she went on to tell me she never did them things. When I quoted her that all her righteousness was as filthy rags, the jar of hot chocolate was poured over my head. Praise God. You know, I met her about a year, 2 years ago, just before the lockdown. She's getting on a bit now. And I'll tell you, she kept clear of me. She kept clear of me. She's still not saved. She's still not saved. It's a terrible thing that woman's still not saved. That woman, because of maybe she sat under false preaching, and they've told her that if you do good, you're all right, and if you come to church, you're all right. Doing good's good. Christians should have good works, but it still won't save. Going to church won't save. Saying your prayer, "Lord, let me down to sleep," won't save you. You have to recognize your lost condition to be saved. But the purpose of Christ coming is to save sinners. Jesus Christ is a great teacher. Jesus Christ is a great healer. But most importantly, Jesus Christ is not only a great Savior, but he is absolutely the only Savior. He's not just a great healer and a great Savior. He's the only Savior. There's no other way into heaven. There is one door and only one. There's not two. The angel that announced the birth of Christ to Joseph said in Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins."
Amen.
He came to save from sins. He's a savior for no one but sinners. Aren't you glad that someone can save you from your sins? I'm glad. I didn't need you to tell me I'm a sinner. I didn't need you to tell me I failed. I've told lies. I've stole. I've done all sorts of stuff. Paul says some of us were adulterers. Some of us were fornicators. But now we're in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now we're sanctified. Now we're justified by the blood of the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Acts 4:12 tells us. And that word Savior means deliverer. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus did not come primarily to be our example. A lot of people talk about Jesus as our example, but he did not come primarily for to be our example. Follow me this evening. It's got your eyebrows going, and I'm glad. I want you to listen to this. It is true that those of us who know him as Savior, Lord, ought to follow him. He called the disciples from the ships and fish nets and said unto them in Matthew 4:19, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Didn't say, "Follow me and we'll build a couple of denominations." He told them not to do that on the Mount of Transfiguration. He called Levi the publican, the tax collector, and said, "Follow me." Mark 2:14. "And as he passed by, saw Levi the son of Alphaeus sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me, arise." He arose and followed him. 1 Peter 2:21. "For even here under were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." But follow why I've said what I've said for a moment. Saved people should follow Jesus. Jesus is the example to save people. But one can follow him as his example. No one can follow Christ as his example until he first trusts him as a savior. He can't follow him. He's not perfecta. Not follow him for a moment. Until the Spirit of God moves a man or moves a woman, how can he follow him? Till he's saved. He's firstly our Savior. You never followed him till you got saved. Then after you got saved, you followed him. And he was your example. But you didn't know him as your example till you got saved. God had to do a work of regeneration within you. And you got saved. Then you followed him. You can't put the cart in front of the horse. Salvation is the first thing that must happen. Salvation. You didn't talk about somebody being baptized with the Spirit to see him. There's no Pentecost until there was a Calvary.
Amen.
Now it's sad that a lot of people threw Pentecost out, but it's even sadder that a lot of other people have threw Pentecost out on Calvary. Them both out. You'd have to say they're apostates. What else can they be? That's what the Bible would call them. But we're here tonight, and I know you believe in Calvary and Pentecost. This is the most blessed, the most important truth that every preacher, every teacher, every church, every Christian should learn this truth firstly. Jesus Christ came to save. That's why he came to save sinners. Everything about a preacher or teacher should be ultimately to reach sinners and to get them saved. How do you get them saved? By the gospel. It does it. You and me can't do it. But the gospel does it. Salvation of sinners is the most important thing above all other things. What would it matter what we have or what we do if we have a son or a daughter or a relation that's lost? We should have a desire to see them saved. We need to learn again that Savior meant by the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15, verse 4 to 7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. Excuse me. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Joy in heaven.
Right.
Over one sinner that repents.
Amen.
More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. But the one that repents is joy in heaven. Hallelujah. Our text says Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. When Jesus Christ was rebuked for his loving kindness to Zacchaeus, the publican, he explained in Luke 19:10, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, I've come for sinners, not the righteous. Jesus Christ came to keep people out of hell, and he came to save them from hell the whole way to heaven. I think your brother John might have prayed it the other night in his prayer. He doesn't just save you, but he saves you the whole way to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't leave you limboing. He saves you from hell the whole way to heaven. Here's the scripture for it. Colossians 1:13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Amen.
He's come to save you the whole way. When you're saved and really saved, you can never be lost. You're saved for all time, and you're saved for all eternity. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the end time truth. You say the end time truth? Absolutely. It shall come to pass in the last days. The book of Acts, the book of Romans, the book of Joel. That's what it says. Are we in the last days? That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
My friend, whatever you think you need most, your greatest need is to be saved. Now I'm preaching to those, bear with me, that's watching in tonight as well as what's in this room. Your greatest need is to be saved. You could have £1 million tonight and be lost. You could have the best house, the best car, the best marriage, the best everything, and be on your way to hell. You could be a pauper and be saved and on your way to heaven. Look at Lazarus and the rich man, for an example. One had everything, the other had nothing, but the one that had nothing had salvation. John 14:27 says, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Amen.
As I was studying, I was thinking of this old hymn that I found. And I want to read it tonight. And then I'm going to close. My time's almost gone. But I want to read this hymn. I'm not even sure of the title of it. I have found no satisfaction in the fleeting joys of earth. I've hewn me broken cisterns that had mocked me by their dearth. All the springs my soul had tasted failed to meet my deepest need. Christ alone has met my longing. He has satisfied indeed. Here's the chorus. Christ is not a disappointment. Every language in my breast finds in him complete fulfillment. He has brought me into rest. I have tested him. I have proved him more than all I dreamed he'd be. Christ is not a disappointment. He is all in all to me. Verse 2. I was tempted not to trust him, for so many things had failed, but so patiently he waited, and his tenderness prevailed. So I swung my heart's door open, and his promises I tried. Christ is not a disappointment. He is fully satisfied. Verse 3. I tried the world for pleasure, but it could not satisfy. Though I promised much, it failed me. All its wells and springs were dry. Everything I tried was empty, and I thought my life was vain. Then he came and turned my heartstrings, and I learned to sing again. It is the Lord we need tonight. It is the Lord. Never forget, Jesus Christ came to save. He came to save you. Now I'm going to go on no further, but my next part is Christ Jesus saves. Nobody else. Nobody else but sinners. Nobody else but sinners. Think of it this evening as I close. The religious Jews crucified him. And they said away with him. But yet two malefactors, one on each side of him, gnashed upon him with their teeth. They cursed him, they rebuked him, but the Spirit of God moved upon one of them. Even though he cursed the Lord, cursed him, and said, save us, save yourself, and mocked him and all sorts. You know the scriptures on it. But yet the Lord saved him. That man recognized his need on that cross. But the religious Jew that put him on the cross never recognized his need. He crucified him. But a malefactor recognized it, even though he cursed him and gnashed on him with his teeth. But God moved on that man. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he said, this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. This day. If you'll come today, the Lord will save you today. Let's come and bow our heads this evening before God. I don't know who's listening in tonight. The Lord bless those that's tuned in this evening. But I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus loves you. He loves you. And he wants to save you. And if you recognize your condition this day, the Lord can save you. For it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I would say to you tonight, if you're watching it and you're not saved, will you call on the Lord? Read Romans 10 and 9. Believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. As we close in a word of prayer, is there anyone in this room and you want prayer? Anyone by way of the internet you want prayer? Just slip your hand up, will every head's bowed, every eye closed this evening. Am I going to pray tonight? God bless you. Praise God. God bless you, son. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before your lovely presence. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we're glad, so glad that you came to save sinners. Lord, there's not one of us would be worthy, but you were worthy. Like we heard this morning, the Lamb has prevailed, the Lamb that stood. You have the keys of hell and the grave, death, hell, and the grave. You conquered death, you conquered hell, you conquered the grave, and you're risen, you're victorious, you're a living sacrifice, and we worship you tonight. Ask for the hands raised in this room. Pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll meet the need, whatever it is, whether it's physical, financial, or in the body. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, meet that need. Lord, for those watching in tonight, give deciding grace and save and heal and deliver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Father, as our song leader comes, bless him and bless the remainder of the service. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Brother Kerry. Praise God. The Lord bless us. If Brother Gary comes and Brother Terry, you can help out. Don't forget Wednesday night, 7:30. And Sunday morning, our Brother Samuel will be preaching. And then the following Sunday, our Brother John will be preaching. Pray for all these brothers. Pray for the meetings. And the Lord bless each one.
Bless them. Quite happy to let Gary do it there. We'll sing that one, 305, Under the Burden of Guilt and Shame. Under the burdens of guilt and care, many a spirit is grieving. Who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting receiving? We'll stand our feet this evening before we go.